to episode 6 of the Archery Geek Outdoors podcast. For new listeners, thank you for giving me a try. For returning listeners, thank you so much for sticking with me. It really is appreciated. If you're listening on Podbean and thinking episode 6, what the hell happened to episode 5? I'll get to that shortly. Anyway, in this episode, I'm going to do a quick update on how the podcast's doing, how I'm doing with my archery and my health and fitness. Overall, positive. There have been some bad days, some hiccups. I've let discipline go out the window a couple of times. But the biggest thing I'm learning so far is, if you have a bad day, if you overeat, if you shoot crap, don't worry about it. It's pointless giving up because you've had a bad day. Each day is a fresh start, and every day you exercise, every day you monitor your eating, every day you shoot, it's a step in the right direction. I think my biggest problem is, as I've said in previous episodes, I'm inherently lazy. Archery is what gave me the kick to start getting myself into shape, because up until then, I was more than happy to sit on the sofa all day, you know, classic couch potato. Plus, I'm incredibly impatient. I think it's part of the society we live in. You know, we want instant gratification. I want to see results now. And we all know we're bloody adults. We don't get results now. You only get out the effort that you put into it. So if I've had a bad day, if I've missed my exercise, if I've eaten more than I should, if I haven't shot or I've shot poorly, next day is a fresh start. And marathons are run by taking one step at a time, and what I'm doing is definitely a marathon and not a sprint. So the first thing I want to have a look at is how the podcast's doing. Considering the only place I've mentioned the podcast is on Twitter, and I've added a link to the Spotify version of it in the bio on my Instagram account, not doing too bad at all. These things are so hard to get going, so hard to build up an audience. The first couple of episodes, I picked up listeners in the UK and the States. You know, I was amazed to pick up listeners in the States. The last three episodes, I've added listeners in Sweden, Canada, Switzerland, and Germany. Now, I know this because I host a podcast on two platforms, Podbean and Anchor FM. Podbean, I have a free account so far. With that, you're limited to 5 hours of uploads, and I didn't know until episode 5. Only 100 meg file size per episode. Episode 5 went up to 165, so it hasn't appeared on Podbean, and I'll get to in a moment why I haven't committed to a paid account yet. And apart from the fact it's 12 months, I'd like to think I'll still be going in 12 months doing this, but it's a bit of a commitment at the moment. Now, Anchor's completely free, no limit on file upsize, and what Anchor does is distributes your podcast to other platforms. So through Anchor, it's available on Spotify, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, which I'm really pleased about, Pocket Casts, Bullhorn, and the one that really surprised me is Apple Podcasts, because from everything I'd read, it's quite hard to get yourself listed on Apple Podcasts, but Anchor have done it for me, so thank you very much, Anchor FM. Now, the other thing Anchor does is gives you a really good breakdown of your analytics, so it'll show me what percentage of listeners come from what platform, and so far, only 7% of listeners are on Podbean, so you can understand I'm a little reticent to commit to signing up for something for 12 months, but I'll probably end up doing it anyway. And like I say, Anchor also gives you which countries your listeners are from, so that's where I know I've added the listeners from Sweden, Canada, Switzerland, and Germany. I am going to ask a favour, folks. Like I say, the only place I've put this out that I'm doing a podcast is on Twitter and in the bio on my Instagram account. I'm not a big one for blowing my own trumpet. If you think the podcast listenable and you think people would enjoy it, could I ask you just to share the link for me, please? Thank you. Right, so that's covered how the podcast's doing. Let's get on with how I'm doing. First, we're going to look at my shooting. Right, my shooting has been hit and miss. More a lot more good than bad, but not doing quite enough of it. You know, preparing to come out of furlough at work, I've got a lot going on. You know, they're excuses. Basically, again, that laziness and lack of discipline. I'd said before, I was starting to shoot 300 rounds purely to work on consistency, because as a 3D shooter, I tend to shoot, you know, if I don't miss, I'm only shooting one arrow per target and then moving on to the next target. And it's all very well being able to put the first one there, but if you miss, it's no good if you can't get the second arrow where you need it to go. So I'd started shooting these 100 rounds, started in the 260s, then managed to hit one in the 270s. Now, since then, I've shot another four 300 rounds. First one, 271. Second one, 274. I'm thinking, aye, aye, moving in the right direction here. Third 300 round I shot, I hit 282. I was ecstatic at it. Yep, I know all you target archers, 282 is nothing to brag about. There's enough of you shooting 300s out there. But like I say, I'm shooting basically a hunting bow with a 5-pin sight and a 10-inch stabiliser. No clarifier, no magnifying lens. Yeah, it's only 20 yards, but I was really pleased with how I was going. When I shot the 282, I decided to shoot another one straight away, and I was that bloody full of myself. I let everything go to shit. You know, I stopped concentrating on my shot cycle. If it didn't feel right, I was that full of bravado that I was thinking, it's going where I want anyway. No, it wasn't. Not by a long chalk. So after I'd shot this 282, my next one was a 268. Absolutely horrified with myself. As it is, I've run out of Vegas face targets at the moment. I've got some, actually the NFAA 20-yard four-spot targets. Now, these score differently to the Vegas three-spots. You know, the biggest difference being these have got four target faces on a target, where the Vegas faces have got three. But whereas the Vegas faces are the traditional gold, red and blue, you know, where you've got your X-ring, your 10, your 9, 8, 7, 6 and 5. Although these four-spot targets, each target's the same size in total as the Vegas face, they only score 5, 4 and 3. I had to double check on the NFAA website about this, you know, as to how it scores. Your 5 is a total of 4 centimetres across. You've got your X-ring, and then which is 2 centimetres across, and then you've got an additional centimetre either side, which is the outer 5. Then your 4 is an additional, I think it's 40mm each side, and your 3 is an additional 40mm each side of that. I think it may be easier to hit the centre on this, because the whole target is black. Just the 5 ring is white, and the lines between your 4 and your outer line of your 3 are very, very thin and not noticeable. But whereas you could shoot outside, you know, the 5 is the same size as a 10 on a Vegas face. If you shot outside the 10, you're into your 9s, you know, so with 30 arrows, you could hit 9 every time and still get a 270. Being a 4-spot face on these NFAA faces, you shoot 15 ends of 4 arrows for a total of 60 arrows. If you hit 5 and everything, you got 300. But if you hit where you'd hit a 9 on a Vegas face, on these, you're only scoring 4 per arrow. So if you put every arrow where you shoot a 9 on a Vegas face and get a 270, on these, you'd get 60 at 4, which would only give you 240. I'm a little bit nervous about shooting these like that, because looking at the Vegas scoring, you know, 270 is a lot better than 240 if you put every arrow in the same place. Maybe I'm just nervous that if I shoot them, put, you know, announce what I've been shooting, the scores I've been shooting on here, it's going to make me look a bloody atrocious archer if you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, I'm shooting a 300 round and I'm only scoring 240. But like I say, if you If you miss the 10 on a Vegas face, you can score a 9. If you miss the 5 on here, you're only scoring a 4. So you're potentially dropping an awful lot of points. What I had thought about doing was halving the 4 ring and then counting, scoring it the same as you'd score a Vegas face. So put an inner ring on the 4. So that would then, you know, you'd have like a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 and 5 and score it as a Vegas face. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'll give it some more thought. On a positive side, though, my club Paget have reopened. I've been down twice so far. We're still under strict government guidelines. Toilet block has to stay closed. Porter cabin has to stay closed. Not allowed to use the clubhouse. And we're only allowed into the woods so far in groups of 2. And you must maintain social distancing. You know, you've got to stay 6 feet apart. Don't touch the target with your hands. You know, put your hip against it. You can only pull your own arrows. You are allowed out in groups of more than 2 if you're a family group and you all live in the same household. There aren't many of those at the club. So it's sticking round in groups of 2. And the other thing we're doing, we're having tee-off times like you would on a golf course, where tee-off times are separated by 15 minutes. So you're not running into the group in front, or you're not creating a backlog of groups behind you. But it was just really, really good to be back out in the woods again. I shot last Wednesday, Saturday, and this Wednesday. And the work I'd been doing at home shooting paid dividends. It really did. I think that 268 that I shot after the 282 did me the power of good. It really made me think about my shot cycle. I've picked up a couple of little things that I need to improve on. First one's posture. At one point, when I was holding the full draw, the bow kept wanting to come over and I couldn't figure it out. And it was after the one shot I realised what I'd been doing. I hadn't been holding myself fully upright. I'd been allowing my shoulders to roll. And if you think when you move your pull your shoulders back and stand upright, you know, you can add another. I must have been coming in by about an inch, which is no wonder the bow was wanting to come over. And the other thing I picked up that I needed to improve on was the actual execution. If you remember me talking about Joel Turner, yep, here I go on about Joel Turner again. You need to, when you're ready to release the shot, you need to concentrate totally on your release. You don't need to be thinking about your aim, watch it to keep it, is what he says. And I realised I was switching my focus between my release and aiming, and suddenly I'd find myself focusing on my aiming and not my release. It's taken a little bit of work, but I think I'm slowly getting on top of the watch it to keep it. And I'm using another one of his tricks. When I've anchored and aimed, I'll say, here we go. And then, although I'm watching the target, my focus is on my release. And when I do that, I'm seem to be doing better. The other thing I'm having to do is make sure I don't drop my bow arm to see where the arrow's going. If I've had a couple of really good targets, on the next target I'll get so excited, and as soon as that shot breaks, I'm dropping my bow arm to see where the arrow's going. You know, so I end up frustrated that I've had a bad shot. But the plus side is, I can see what I'm doing wrong now, and when you know what you're doing wrong, you actually stand a chance of rectifying it. Now, the other restriction we've got at the club at the moment is that we're not allowed the practice bosses on the target field, which, you know, in line with these government guidelines, is understandable because it means they've got to be manhandled out and then put back away again at the end of the session. So on Wednesday when I shot, I actually, to give me an idea with my consistency, what I did was shot what's called an East Midlands round, where you shoot one arrow from the red, the yellow and the blue peg as you go around. So I was getting 3 arrows per target, and I was really quite pleased with my consistency. My groups were better than I'd expected. I don't know why I wasn't expecting anything particularly good, but I was really pleased with how I was shooting. Now, the next update is a little bit of a negative. If you've listened to episode 5, you'll know that I'd taken the plunge after I've got to be a couple of years of wanting one of these. and ordered myself an Axel AccuTouch Carbon Pro single pin sight. I'd ordered it from Merlin. They were advertising it at an amazingly good price, and they'd advertised 7 to 10 days to get it to me, which, you know, with everything that's going on at the moment, that wasn't a problem. I was quite happy with that. I ordered the sight on the 19th of May. Now, when Merlin dispatch something to you, they send you an email to say, you know, your order's been dispatched. It's now in the hands of the postal service. 29th of May, 10 days later, I'd heard nothing. So I thought, right, I'll just drop them an email, expecting them to say, oh yeah, we've been a little bit delayed, because I'd heard nothing from them. And I got the reply saying, the site is currently on order with our supplier. Unfortunately, though, their stock listings appear to have been incorrect, as an estimated arrival date has not yet been provided. As this is the case, we could not provide a reasonable lead time. Please accept our apologies on behalf of the supplier for any inconvenience caused by the delay. As soon as the site's available, we'll have it dispatched as a priority. Now, what really disappointed me about this was the fact that I'd waited 10 days, and if I hadn't have emailed them, I'd have still been sat here in the dark now waiting for my site, not knowing what's going on. I've been in touch since with Trueball Excel, and I've got to say they were so quick getting back to me. I presumed it was because Trueball Excel must have been on shutdown in the States, you know, with the whole COVID thing. But Trueball got back to me and said, nope, we've been shipping orders every day right through the pandemic. So I'm presuming it's going to be JVD. I may be wrong, but it looks like JVD need to get their arse in gear and get an order put in. You know, like I said, I was just really disappointed that without me sending an email, nobody had bothered to get in touch with me and let me know this. But, you know, it does look an amazing sight, and I'm really looking forward to this thing arriving. I've checked JVD's site. Other models of the same site, they've got due in July, but still no time on when this thing's coming in. You know, I mean, even if it came in July, that's 2 months for something that was supposed to be 7 to 10 days. But I suppose it is what it is. Now, the next thing I want to look at is exercise. How's it going? On the negative side, I'd said before I was going to try stair walking to start building stamina and cardio fitness. Did it the first day, and bloody hell was it boring. At the moment, the walking has gone out the window. Instead, what I'm doing, I've altered up the exercises that I'm doing. If you've listened to the previous episodes, you'll know I'd started off doing 30 squats, 20 press-ups a day in 10 squats, 10 press-ups, 10 squats, 10 press-ups, 10 squats. I've altered that up now and added some additional exercises into it, and I'm doing what I believe are called drop sets. Let me explain a little more. What I'm doing now is calf raises, where you literally just stood there and come up onto tiptoe, hold it for a couple of seconds, and then come back down. Then still the squats, still the press-ups, and I've added leg raises in as well, where you lay flat on your back, hands on your side, start with your feet about 4 inches off the ground, bring them up to 45 degrees, and then very slowly lower them back down to the 4 inches off the ground before repeating. Like I said, I believe what I'm doing are called drop sets. First set of reps is 10, then when I've done the first lot, I do 9, then 8, then 7, 6, and so on. I started doing these 2 weeks ago, and I could get down to 5 press-ups before my triceps felt like absolute jelly. Through the week, it got better, so this week, I've got it down from 10 down to 4 of each one. And next week, I'm going to drop it down to the 3, and I might see about adding some sit-ups in as well. What I'm pleased about this was when I was just doing press-ups and sit-ups, although my heart rate was coming up fast, I wasn't sweating. Adding in these additional exercises and doing, like I say, I think they're called drop sets the way I'm doing them, it's getting me sweating, which is good. You know, it means I'm actually doing something. And the press-ups are getting easier as well. I've also started altering the position of my hands in the press-ups. Before, I was doing wide spread and closer spread. Now I'm doing closer spread, but I found by rotating my hands, I can feel it pulling on different muscles. And the leg raises, when I'm lowering my legs, I can really, really feel it pulling on the abdominals below my navel. To be honest, these seem to kick my heart rate up more than doing the squats. Squats get it going quite well, but these leg raises on the negative, on the lower, in taking my time to bring my legs down, like I say, I can really feel it pulling tight on the muscles below my navel, and that really gets my heart rate kicking up. Now, there have been, in the last 2.5 weeks, I think there's been 3 days when I haven't done my exercises. And to be honest, I feel pretty shitty if I go to bed without having done my exercises. I'm trying to do them in the morning before I have breakfast, purely because, again, using that wonderful resource, the internet, the consensus of opinion appears to be that exercising in the morning is more beneficial to you. Now, if any of you know any different to this, or, you know, you think doing it later at night would be better, feel free to drop me an email. The email address is archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. Likewise with any other, oh Lord, I can't even get my words out now. Likewise with any other thoughts or suggestions, feel free to drop me an email. It would be nice to get some interaction going with people. You know, even hate mail. If you think the podcast lousy, tell me so. Let me know in an email. If you think I can improve it, drop me an email. archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. Now, what I've really found is helping me with this, monitoring my eating and, my exercises, is a rather splendid little app that my oldest daughter put me onto. It's by the American sportswear firm Under Armour. And if you know anything about Under Armour, they're into everything. You know, they've even got a hunting division. You know, there's Under Armour Run. They do a whole gamut of things. And I do have to admit, I'm not one for brand names, but I really do like Under Armour stuff. I mean, even something as simple as the T-shirts, the standard T-shirts. I'm short in the leg and long in the body. Most folks' T-shirts, I put them on and I get that horrible gap. You know, you'll tuck them into your jeans or wear them over your jeans. You reach up and there's a gap. And when you're a middle-aged chubster, people really don't want to see your middle-age spread. Under Armour T-shirts, they're not cheap, but they're so much longer than any others I've found. So whether I tuck them into my jeans, leave them over my jeans, I can reach up and I'm not getting this gap. And they're incredibly comfy. Anyway, you know, no, this isn't an advert for Under Armour, by the way. They actually run an app called MyFitnessPal. And I'm using the free version because, as you may have picked up by now, I'm so tight I squeak when I walk. But I'm using the free version. You can upgrade it, pay to upgrade it. But my God, what a fantastic little app. Even in its most basic form, there are so many features. I believe it's on the Apple Store. I use an Android phone, so it's on the Google Play Store. Look up MyFitnessPal Under Armour. You put in your weight, your height, your age, you know, all your personals. Now, this is a major thing for me. As I said before, I thought I was up around the 18 stone mark. I got weighed last week, absolutely blown away to find out I am less than 17 stone. I'm 235.8 pounds, which I think is 16 stone, 11 and a bit. I haven't been this light in 25 years. You know, in relative things, no, that's not light at all. Yes, I am carrying a lot of excess weight, but this is the lightest I've been in 25 years, so I'm absolutely over the moon with it. Anyway, here we go, digressing again. And like I say, you put all your vital stats into this MyFitnessPal app, and I think I'd like to get down to about 13, 14 stone. Apparently the good old BMI thing, you know, as heavily discredited as that is, reckons that at just under 6'1" and big built, I should weigh 12 stone. If I lost 5 stone, I would look utterly ridiculous. You know, I'd make, I'd, oh no, I can't imagine myself having losing 5 stone. I think I'd like to get down to about 14 stone. So I put in what I'd like my weight to be. And it tells you your net calories a day to drop pound and a half a week. And apparently my net calories per day are 1,810. Now, I say net calories because it's got this most wonderful feature to track what you eat. And you have got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with what you put in, with things like your portion size. You can add in everything you eat. It gives you breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. You know, in snacks you can put things like even the tea and coffee you drink, how much water you consume. But if you don't know the calorific value of something, it's actually got a barcode scanner. You scan it and it lists it. Now, like I say, them being an American firm, I didn't think they'd have access to some of the stuff we get over here, but everything so far I've scanned, it's come up with. Even specialty breads from Aldi, scan it, 2 seconds later, there it is, and it tells you your calories per slice, you know, how many portions you're having, what's your portion size, how many portions are you having. Really impressed with this app, so impressed with it. And in addition to this, you can add in your exercise, and archery is on there. Apparently, an hour of non-hunting archery is something like, I think it's 124 or 132 calories, you know, an hour you burn. I'm presuming that's an average, because obviously, if you're shooting target at 70 metres, you're doing walking a lot more steps. You know, if you're shooting a 70, 80 pound bow, I presume you're going to be burning more calories than drawing a 20 pound bow. So I'm presuming it's an average. But as well as all these exercises, if you put in an exercise, they've actually got videos to show you how to do those exercises correctly, and it adds in your calories burned. Walking, you need to know what pace you're walking at, but you can also link a Fitbit to it. So in this diary function, at the end of the day, you put in how many calories you've consumed. It tells you, if you put in what exercise you've done, it'll tell you how many calories you've burned and gives you your net calories. So far, I've been using it the last couple of weeks. Last week, I've had one day when I've gone over on my calories, and that was purely because I didn't exercise. So I'm really enjoying using this app. Yes, it can be a bit of a bind when you're trying to scroll through to find your foods. So more often than not now, if there's a barcode on something, I'll scan the barcode. Even with things like chicken breasts, when I cook chicken breasts, haven't got a set of scales yet, apart from my Arrow scale, so I am going to have to invest in a set of scales. Because I started using this because I found I was starting to come off track with my eating, and I wanted to know what I was consuming. And I say, I'm so impressed with this little app. Really pleased with what it's doing for me and how it's helping me. Now, the other thing it's got on it is the MyFitnessPal community. I haven't opted into this yet. I've got it set, so if I want to post anything, there's only me can see it. So, like this podcast, it'll be a record for me to look back on, but you can make it public. I mean, there's recipes and all sorts in there as well. It really is a little treasure trove of an app. Like I say, it's available for both iPhone, iOS, and Android. If you're looking at your health and fitness, give it a look. I think on the premium version, there's some facilities. Like I say, I'm still on the free version because I'm just, at the moment, too tight to buy going to the paid version. But, on the free version, it'll give you warnings if something's particularly high in saturated fat or salt, and it'll say your goal is to stay under however many grams or micrograms. It'll also tell you if something's very low in saturated fat or high in fibre or high in protein. I mean, I had a 12-ounce steak the other week with some mushrooms and potatoes. And I think that, you know, for a 12-ounce steak, it came up high in protein. I think something like, is it 24 grams of protein per 100 grams of meat? You know, I was really surprised at that. And surprised overall how few calories. When you looked at the size of the meal, you'd think, my God, this is going to be a calorie buster. Put it in, and it's not. But I think with the paid version, you can actually, it'll actually go down into your macros. Now, I'd heard macros talked about, never quite sure, so I've had a look this week. At some point, I will talk about macros, and I'll get a better handle on them. Basically, it's just the breakdown of the nutrients in there, but it's something I really could do with getting a handle on. Now, there is a slight negative using this app. I'd always said I wasn't going to calorie count and I wasn't going to say I was on a diet, because when you do that, you think, well, certainly I do, I don't know if it's the same for you folks listening, you immediately think you're restricting yourself and start feeling hungry. Now, apart from the week before I started using this, when I was coming a little bit on track, all I said was, I'm not dieting. All I'm doing is cleaning the crap out of my diet and eating cleaner. When I wasn't counting calories, I didn't feel hungry. For the first few days, when I started counting calories, despite eating no less than I had been, I started to feel hungry, and I'm convinced this is purely psychological, because I'm counting calories. If anybody else, if any of you lovely people out there that are taking the time to listen to me have experienced this, let me know. I'd be interested if it's just something I'm doing, I'm experiencing, or is it something people go through when they stop thinking, you know what, I'm just eating clean and cutting the crap out. All I'm doing is altering my eating habits to, oh, I'm counting calories. Is it a psychological thing that you think you're restricting yourself and you're starting to worry about the number of calories you're consuming, and the body's then rebelling against this by making you feel hungry? I say archerygeekoutdoors@gmail.com. Let me know if you've experienced this, please, because, like I say, I'm curious to know, is it just me and is it purely a psychological thing? Now, those of you that have listened to previous episodes will have heard me talk about my ultimate favourite shoot in NFAS, Liberty Archers, down at Lake and Heath in Suffolk. It's normally held the third weekend in July. Unfortunately, we've had the awful news that, thanks to good old COVID-19, it's now officially being cancelled. I think we all knew that unless there was some kind of miracle, it would be cancelled, but we were kind of clinging on to hope that it would go ahead. We've had the news this week that it's really not practical to put it up, for it to go ahead. You know, it's absolutely heartbreaking. At Paget, we'd actually got 30 of us this year. I think it was, 30. We're going to go down, you know, it's almost like the annual Paget jolly. You know, Thursday to Monday of being around your friends, good food, beer, campfires, and a couple of days of really fun archery thrown in with it. You know, plus, because I do very few open shoots, I get to see folks there. It's the only folks that I get to see. And Randy and Ruth and their team from Liberty, they are amazing people. Plus, we'd heard rumours that the F-35s were getting stationed to Lake and Heath this year, so I was really looking forward to seeing those F-35s flying on the Thursday and Friday. But again, it's one of those things. Let's hope 2021 Liberty comes back bigger and better than ever. You know, we're devastated it's not going ahead, but it's, you know, I really do think it would have taken a miracle for it to have happened with the current situation. At least we're getting the archery clubs open now. You know, we can go and shoot, and that's such a blessing. You know, the sheer pleasure of walking into the woods with my bow. You know, when we hadn't shot for it, hadn't been able to get down there and shoot for a couple of months. Oh, it really was paradise. And to see friends I hadn't seen for, you know, a good couple of months. It was so nice to be back around those people, albeit at a 6 foot distance. You know, but it was so nice to be back, be able to walk into the woods with my bow and shoot. Like I say, the work I've been doing at home has paid off. There's still an awful long way to go. I've got to put in so much more hard work. And I've got to maintain that work. You know, like I said in episode 2, archery is a perishable skill. If you don't keep working at it, then your level of proficiency does deteriorate. Well, certainly for me, my level of proficiency deteriorates. Whether you find it does for you guys, I don't know. I mean, like I said before, we all know those lucky buggers that they can shoot once in a blue moon. You can give them a pencil with a rubber band, as a bow, a broomstick as an arrow, and they'd still hit everything that they shot at. But I'm not one of those. Like I say, in my experience, for me personally, it is most definitely a perishable skill. But like I say, things are moving forward. I'm feeling better in myself. I am getting a better handle on my discipline, although it's still nowhere near where it should be. You know, I'm hoping that keep doing it, it'll become a routine. And now, if I miss my exercises for a day, I feel bad when I go to bed, because I know they're benefiting me. Like I say, although I'm adding more exercises to keep that, my heart rate's still coming up very quickly. It's not taking as long to come back down when I've finished exercising, though. So to me, that's a massive, massive positive. It means there's something different happening. And like I say, to discover I'm under 17 stone, absolutely over the moon at that. Like I say, got to be the lightest I've been in 25 years. So this is doing me some good. Anyway, I think that's enough waffling from me for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, I would ask, if you enjoy the podcast, if you think it's worth sharing, just give it a share, please. You know, whatever platform you share it on, let people know it's out there. And I look forward to you joining me next time. I'm not sure what the next episode's going to be. You know, I don't want to do just another update. I think what I might do is have a look at my arrow building process. You know, tell you what I do. Hopefully I'll get some interaction, some emails, some comments on the various platforms, how you do it, anything you think I could do different. I'm trying to build the arrows as consistent as I can. Am I a good enough shot to notice a difference? No. Why do I do it then? Purely because I want to know any mistakes are down to me and not inconsistencies in kit. Anyway, before I start waffling off on that one, thank you so much for listening, guys and girls. Look forward to you joining me next time. Take care. Keep smiling. Have fun. Bye-bye.